I'm Brad.
I'm Faith.
And I'm Kitch.
And we are the Two Blind Squirrels.
But there's three of us. Doesn't make any sense. Huh? Three. One, two, three.
Yeah, this music makes it easier to count with.
Why do you complain about my intro music? Well, where's the intro music you were going to make?
The circus.
What? Oh, that's what clowns? I feel like. I'm in the middle of a three-ring circus.
Where are the clowns?
Get right over there with the headphones on.
Are you two done yet?
Yes. Yes, I'm done.
Okay.
Done.
I'm here too, by the way.
Done. I'm just done. I'm done.
You're done. Here too?
Hey, we got to meet Kidge.
Yep.
We've already met Kidge.
No, I mean, but we got to meet Kidge again.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Like, not meet him, but meet him. As in, meet up with him.
Yes, we did.
That
we
actually
did
meet
in
him.
In person.
Good Lord. We had supper with Kidge and Swifty.
We did. It was lovely.
It was very nice.
It was lovely. I like Swifty.
Yes, she's sweet, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. She's very good at conversation.
Mm-hmm. I like her talking.
It's easy. She's easy to talk to, and she has lots to talk about, which I enjoy.
She's a good listener as well. She's not one of these people who talks too much.
But she knows how to contribute to a conversation.
And she's interested in what you have to say.
And she's interesting because she has a lot of things she can talk about, which is great.
I think she's a better podcast host
than Kidge.
And I'm
sorry, but there's a lot of...
I think we got the short end of the stick.
You know?
You did. You did.
I'm kidding, Kidge. It was fun.
Not a lot of women can say that. That's all I'm saying.
I missed what you said.
I said that Swifty is interesting. She's able to talk about a wide variety of things. She, mm-hmm. you know, is well educated. She can have an intelligent conversation. Mm-hmm. She's well versed in lots of interesting things, not just like, you know, mundane things, but interesting conversation. I mean, you know, she knew about the Book of Enoch. That's impressive.
I don't think that. Mundane is ever an adjective you can use to describe my wife.
No. I just think that's nice because, you know, a lot of women these days are not so much.
Your wife has a mundane understanding of Saks Fifth Avenue.
Yes.
See, I did it.
There you go. She and I differ in that way, I guess. Yeah.
She's, you know, give her some time. Okay, so anyway, it was fun. We enjoyed ourselves and got to chat and fill our bellies with good burritos, and which I was mad at Kidge about because he didn't take me to Capriati's.
I totally forgot until you brought it up after we were done with ice cream.
Right.
It was too late then.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had also suggested a Chipotle up by the Capriati's, but Faith was like, no, we're going to go to Great Outdoor. I'm just kidding. I'm totally parodying you.
Parodying.
Because that's what I said, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, well, but Swifty does have a flaw.
She does?
Yes, she does not like the smell of coffee.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
oh,
so there's a flaw.
But Kidge made up for it because he got coffee ice cream.
But coffee and white chocolate ice cream.
But he didn't get any kisses because his breath smelled like coffee.
But you know, Kidge, the white chocolate ice cream.
I wasn't going to kiss him with the coffee breath.
It didn't taste like white chocolate.
But if you mixed it in with the coffee, it tasted beautiful.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take your word for that.
All right.
Yep. I had vanilla.
Mm-hmm, because that's what he gets. I actually got it for me, too.
And some sprinkles.
Because I didn't. I had coffee. Because
I was in a festive mood.
Because I had coffee. And and Swifty must really like me because she went into a Starbucks.
She must really like you if she went into a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. She'll enter into buildings voluntarily if, you know, they're not demon possessed or something like that. Doesn't mean she's going to buy anything.
Yeah. But she had to put up with the smell.
That's true.
She didn't even complain about it.
We were only there. We limited our time at the Starbucks.
Yeah. I told you could wait outside. You didn't have to come in with me.
No, we must travel in herds.
Apparently so.
That's how squirrels travel.
They all
travel.
Orbited me around the coffee while I was waiting for my coffee.
Squirrels travel in drays.
Drays?
What's a dray?
Yes. A dray of squirrels. It's a group of squirrels.
I'm Googling this.
A dray of squirrels.
Yes. Don't you think I know this? I've been a squirrel for like 12 years. I would know.
A dray of squirrels.
You know what? He says you'd think he'd know, but you know what? He makes up a lot of stuff. And he acts like he knows.
But I know enough to like get away with it.
Yeah. So. He duped me for a while. We first started dating.
It's not what you know. It's how you say it.
That's right. He said it with such conviction that, I mean, how could I not believe him? And then his dad's like, that never happened. Are you insane?
No, you can't. No, those stories happen. My dad's crazy. My dad remembers things the way he wants
to. And your mom's like, I don't remember that ever. I don't think that ever happened.
They have like...
I think he made that
revisionist
up.
Revisionist history of their own family things. It's very odd.
By the way, Brad,
yes.
It's not a dray of squirrels.
What do you mean it's not a dray of squirrels?
See what I was saying?
A squirrel dray is their nest.
Well, yeah, but it's all... Yes, it's their nest and their family. Yes, exactly.
It's their nest. Their living quarters.
Whatever, it includes the family that lives there.
Told you, make stuff up.
You can't say that we're a house of people.
Sure you can. The church is a house of people. See, I just said it. Don't tell me I can't
did
say things.
Stop Jesus,
telling me I can't say things.
Did he just Jesus juke you?
I did. I Jesus juked you.
He did. Attaboy.
So speaking of all that.
Yeah.
We are studying Jonah.
Yes.
At church.
Jonah.
Yes. It's a wonderful book.
Jonah and the Fish Snappers.
I haven't read it in several years. I mean, I've heard the stories of, you know, I mean, I saw like the VeggieTales.
The VeggieTales version?
Yeah,
Jonah.
You know, sure. And I read it at some point in my history, and I've heard a couple of lessons taught from it. But this time we're going through it like verse by verse, and it's just really speaking to me. And anyway, so this week I was sitting in church going, oh man, a whole podcast just came to me while I was sitting right there in church.
Wow.
And so,
Wait, before we get to that,
no,
you have to let me know how you enjoy the conclusion of the book of Jonah when you get to it.
I haven't got that far.
I know.
Well, he already knows the conclusion.
Everybody does.
Trick question. There isn't one.
There isn't one?
No, it just ends.
Oh.
There's no wrap up like in the book of Job. It's just God says, what are you going to do? And that's how it is.
Yep. There you go.
What are you going to do?
Well,
what are you going to do?
I haven't got that far yet. I've only gotten through the first two chapters. But really, this is just about the first chapter, though, is all I really want to talk about. There's only four chapters to the whole book. It's a very short book.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
But I love how it's sort of an action movie. You know, it's written and it comes to me like an action movie sort of, because it's so fast. I mean, in the first three verses that you've got the whole, I mean, there's not a lot of good day to the people of Nineveh. And I write this to you in great greetings from my spiritual awareness of your being, and hoping that I could be there next Saturday with.
It's not Pauline.
This no,
is not Paul.
No, it's not Paul at all. It's very fat, and it's not Moses either, because Moses has his own, you know, judicial type of writing, you know, and everything. This is definitely good. So, no, he gets right to the point. And so, in the first verse, he says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Ta-da! He says, arise and go to Nineveh, and speak out against their wickedness and their fish slapping and all that." And then in verse 3, Jonah arose and went to Tarshish. To flee from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and he got a ship going to Tarshish.
As far away from Nineveh
point,
as he could.
And it makes a point of saying that he paid the fare. Now, yeah, if you look on a map, this is what was amazing to me, was the pastor was pointing out. If you look on a map, Nineveh, from where Jonah was in Jerusalem, assuming he was in Jerusalem, we know he was in Israel, we assume he was in Jerusalem. Well, you know that we know that Nineveh was about 500 miles. Okay, so no short trip back then,
right?
But then you look where Tarshish was.
Yeah,
Tarshish was as far away as you could get from Nineveh at the time. I mean, it's over on the Portugal coast,
and
which is as far west as boats traveled back then, unless you were a Viking.
The Iberian Peninsula.
Very good.
Yep.
The Iberian Peninsula, otherwise known as Portugal, which I said before. Big smart aleck.
Spain and Portugal combined.
Okay.
Take that.
Ah. Oh, that hurt, actually. So, and then there was a storm at sea in verse 4, right?
Right.
And there was a mighty tempest that blew. And then the people were afraid because the people on the boat. Now, these aren't innocents. See, a lot of times people say, well, these were just innocent people, innocent mm-hmm. bystanders. They weren't innocents. They were sailors. Have you ever met an innocent sailor?
No.
I don't think so.
Not so much.
But they're, but anyway, they were actually not too bad of people because when Jonah came to him and said, hey, you know, this, you know, that's me, that's the problem. Well, they went to him. He was asleep. Right. He was selfishly sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And they came to him and says, hey, we're going to die, and let's cast lots to see whose problem this is. And then it fell on him. And only after the lots fell on him did he actually fess up and say, okay, it's my problem. I'm running from the Lord. And if you want the sea to stop, to throw me into the water. And they didn't want to do that.
Oh, no.
But he finally convinced them to do it. And so
they did.
That's
good. They were like, no, you're one of us. You're going down with us, too. I guess. I don't know.
So they threw him into the water. And they actually prayed a prayer saying, you know, forgive us for this, for the blood of this man's mm-hmm. will not be on us, you know. You know, so, I mean, they had a conscience, these sailors did, anyway.
Let us not perish.
I don't know if they had mom tattoos or anything, but they weren't too bad of people. And they threw him into the water, and then it got calm, and the storm went away immediately. Mm-hmm. And it says a fish was appointed.
He was appointed.
Appointed, anointed, appointed, yes. So a great fish was appointed and came and swallowed.
A pointed fish.
Yes. Now, everybody says this was a whale.
No, whales aren't pointed.
Appointed.
A pointed fish, yes. Whales aren't pointed.
Everybody says this is a whale, which makes sense, I guess, if you think about it a little bit, that there would be because the whale would have to come up for oxygen and there would be something for him to breathe and all that. But we don't know that. We just know it was a sea creature. That's what the word in Hebrew means, the fish word. It doesn't matter. I mean, the Lord could have kept him alive in there and put a bubble of air around him to keep him alive. I mean, you know, the Lord can do what he wants to do, right?
Yep.
So, everybody questions what kind of fish it was. Like, the Lord couldn't have made, it couldn't have been just a regular fish. And I'm like, well, you're not, the Lord just caused a giant storm and then it went still in a second. I mean, there's miracles going on here. You're thinking about this backwards. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter if it was a giant fish, a giant whale.
Whatever, the Lord sent it.
The Lord sent so the he sea creature and swallowed him. And then he prayed in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And then the Lord vomited him out on the land.
Why do people think he died? Why does everybody say, did he die?
No, he
was
didn't
he
die.
Dead?
No.
How could he pray if he was dead?
He didn't die, he was praying.
That's what I've
heard. Chapter 2 was like, a big old prayer.
When studying Jonah before. Did he die? Was he dead? Did he spit him out and come back alive? No!
So, in 1986, stepping ahead a few years, in 1986, I was a good kid.
You were 18 years old.
17. I was a good kid, and I was all right. I mean, I was all right. I was as good as I needed to be to get by. I wasn't particularly shining in any area of my life, but I went to church. And I
weren't really doing your best.
I went to church, and I didn't get in trouble. I didn't hang out with kids who did get in trouble. I didn't drink. I didn't sneak around, and I was a good little virgin, and didn't want any problems or trouble, and knew what was right and wrong, and tried to stay out of negative attention.
Okay.
Right.
And. But I had one little thing there, and that is I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to be by myself. I wanted a girlfriend.
Okay.
This was going on throughout my high school years. I wanted a girlfriend. I needed to have that attention. And as I neared my my graduatory year there, I was very nervous about going off to college and leaving all my friends and being completely alone. And I wanted, I wanted love. I wanted somebody to love me. I wanted that. And I knew the Lord was saying, no, you're going to have to wait. This isn't going to work out for you. You need to go to college and you're going to, you know, you need to be by yourself, and you know you need to trust me with this. And I knew that's what he was kind of leading me to do.
But he didn't like it.
No, I didn't like that. I didn't like that plan at all. So in 1986, I boarded a ship to Tarshish called the Miranda.
The Miranda.
Yes.
Okay.
which in coincidence happens to be my ex-wife's name, but it's just a coincidence. Oh,
isn't that totally funny?
It just happens to be the name of the ship.
Right.
It happens to be my ex-wife's name. Mm-hmm. It's just a coincidence. Uh-huh. So I boarded this ship in 1986 and literally ran from the presence of the Lord, went the opposite direction, did things I shouldn't have done before you're married, and headed the wrong direction, paid my own way, paid my fare, as it says in verse 3. And now, you think about one of the points that the pastor brought up about Jonah getting on a boat at the time was the most dangerous form of transportation.
And it's a dangerous part of the sea, too, there.
Yeah, it's a very turbulent ocean, and as you say, statistically, more people died in boat accidents back then than they did in airplane crashes. Mm-hmm. So
statistically, yes.
And that's not, you know, they didn't have life jackets. They didn't have radios.
So they didn't throw
Coast Guard.
They didn't throw out the little
beanie. No, duck on it. No, that didn't really happen.
Oh.
And Jonah was not an asparagus either.
Oh.
So I bought a motorcycle, keeping with the Jonah tradition.
Yes, of course.
And proceeded to ride, you know, without the protection of the Lord, so to speak. Now, Jonah never stopped believing in the Lord. He never stopped believing in God. He never resigned as prophet. Right. Okay.
I'd take off my prophet hat.
You know, he's going to go to Tarshish, and I'm sure he's going to tell them all about the Lord in Tarshish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just in that same way, as in the midst of my rebellion, I still considered myself a Christian. I still talked Christianese, and but I, you know, didn't really go to church anymore, and I sort of needed to because of that belief, I needed to kind of marginalize how much influence the Bible really had over my life, and college helped with that. They provided me lots of excuses for not believing.
They're good about that, aren't they?
Yeah, not believing in the word of the Lord, and saying, hey, you know, it's just the general principles that matter. It's not the individual words, because, you know, those are just words of man. They've been translated and copied, and they're all, you know, they're all wrong. But the basic thing is love. You know, you just want to get, you know, just love, and
so I want to get along.
And it's whatever version of love you really understand. That's okay. And so this sort of hippie, then this was postmodern hippie-ish. You know, this was the second round of hippie in the 90s, and early 90s, late 80s was the hippie renaissance festivals. And so we went through that, and so
sorry.
So my slow boat continued, and the further away I got, the further, and also hurt those around me. Now, these weren't innocent people, but they were certainly not, they were certainly hurt because of me when they shouldn't have been. My parents, my grandparents, my brother, you know, whoever, you know, some of my friends that were still involved in my life. So that all went on there, and I continued to travel towards Tarshish. Now, the interesting thing when I was thinking about this was, what was my Tarshish? What was my goal? What was I trying to get to? You know, and it was a very, and I realized I did have a place. I mean, it was I wanted to make my wife happy. I wanted her to be, she was a very troubled soul, and I thought I could fix her. And I'd fix her by being the best husband ever. And I was, but I was under my own power. Mm-hmm. You know, I was,
sure.
I was at her beck and call. I was, did everything that she wanted. I always consulted her about pretty much everything. And, as a result though, I became the sort of husband that no woman wants, which was incapable of making his own decisions, pretty much subordinate to or submissive to the wife instead of the other way around. You know, so in my goal to accomplish Tarshish, I was sabotaging everything. And then I realized, then the storm came, and that was when my wife stopped coming home on a regular, at decent hours. And, and at the same time I realized that I was never going to be able to make her happy. I was never going to reach Tarshish. and that the storm was raging, and I knew I wasn't going to make it to Tarshish. And so I said, well, Lord, I just pray that the people I'm on the boat with make it to Tarshish. In other words, I hope that she's happy. And whatever that means, I give up. You know, do with me what you will. Throw me into the water, which I consider to be loneliness. And, you know, Jonah was alone when he got thrown into the water. He was alone in the belly of the whale. But, you know, that 3 days didn't last long. That was a short 3 days that I was in the belly of the whale. And I repented. And I was, but, you know, even in that repentance, and I don't know if Jonah felt this way, but even after they threw him into the water, I imagine Jonah was repentant, but he actually felt better. I mean, I actually felt he felt relieved at the point where they threw him into the water, because that's the way I felt. And I, you know, and that's how I associate this, you know, it, so he must have felt this way, right? Translating the Bible through my own experience. But as soon as I got thrown out of the boat, I felt better. I still had repenting to do. I still was not where I needed to be, for sure. And I still was alone and in a very dangerous, well, dangerous, you know, but in a very spiritually, I guess, dangerous place. Again, Jonah was not in danger. He was, I mean, he might have thought he was, but he wasn't.
The Lord
and
was
I was
in control.
Sort of in the same way. I thought I was in a lot more.
It seemed bigger.
It seemed way more, yeah.
When you look back, but at the, when you're in it, you don't.
Yeah, it was very
tumultuous.
Anyway, so I repented, and the fish threw me up onto a beach, and there was a girl there. That didn't happen in Jonah's story, but.
Wait a second. What sort of beach was this?
It was a beautiful a Mediterranean beach. And then From Here to Eternity started playing, and we rolled around in the sand, got seaweed in places. No, I'm sorry. Back to my story.
Weren't we trying to make this a more kid-friendly show?
It is. It was a black and white movie. It was rated G.
What?
Yeah, they just rolled around on the beach.
From Here to Eternity.
They had clothes
on. It's a black
and
white movie. They had their swimming suits on.
Come on. Get your head out of the gutter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a movie.
It's a movie called From Here to Eternity. It's the famous scene on the shore and the water's rushing up.
The water's rushing up and they're kissing. And it's very romantic.
No.
Until there's sand, and then it's not romantic anymore.
Yeah, until you actually try to do that and you realize salt water tastes nasty.
Yeah, and sand should never be... Never. Just never.
Yeah, you just don't want sand in places. So.
And that's just because the water's rushing.
The water's
not
rushing, and you're sinking in the sand. Yeah. It's just not. It's not as cool as they made it in the movie.
No.
What was that in the story?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. So So there's Nineveh, right? So. Now the rest of the story, I don't know if it applies to me or not because I haven't got that far. Okay, this is as far as I've gotten. I'm not saying I am Jonah. I'm just saying that this story has really spoken to me and what I went through. And there you go. I spent 10 years on that boat and it was hard. And then when I got back to the beach, I had to learn how to, be in a marriage and be a person who allowed then the Lord to be in control instead of me being in control of things, instead of me, I had to let it go. And when I let it go, I realized that I needed to be in charge, but not of the marriage, just, you know, of making decisions and being the kind of person that a woman, that a partner can lean on and depend upon. And I didn't, those things were, you know, were foreign to me before. And it took some maturing in me, and I don't think I'm there yet, but he's introduced those principles to me and he's brought me along that road. And we met Kidge and Swifty the other day, and I was talking to them and I was just thinking, wow, I mean, they're so far ahead of where I was
at their age. Yeah.
So what are they going to be like when they're my age? Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to be cool? Really cool. They're cool people to know now, but how cool are they going to be to know when they're our age?
Yeah.
And so
it totally was, awesome.
Of course.
Clearly.
And how rich is he going to be with all that Star Wars memorabilia that he has? Yeah.
Yeah. But he won't sell it.
No. Well, I don't have that much Star Wars memorabilia. Yeah.
By then they'll come out with the... You said you had a chess set. You don't even know how to play chess, but you have the chess set.
You don't know how to play chess?
It's
you're
like
one of those kind of people who should know how to play chess.
I know how to play... I never said I don't know how to play chess.
I could have sworn you said you didn't know how to play chess.
No, I just don't
play chess. Wait, you know how to play checkers?
Brad, I know how to play Japanese chess.
Okay. Ooh, do you know how to play three-level Star Trek chess?
What?
Well, yeah.
Then never mind. No, he doesn't. He doesn't know anything about Star Trek.
That was a game on, like, Windows 3.1, I think.
Three-dimensional chess?
No, that was three-dimensional tic-tac-toe. That's what it was.
See, but he knows what it is.
I don't think Spock and Kirk played three-dimensional tic-tac-toe. I think they played three-dimensional chess. Because the reason why they did that was to help them to orient spatially the battles they were going to be in, where they would think in three dimensions. They would have to think, you know, instead of a level battlefield, they had to think in three-dimensional battlefields.
Thank you for that.
It was in the Wrath of Khan. That was in the Wrath of Khan, because Khan actually only thought in two dimensions, and that's how they defeated him. Because Spock reminded the captain that he was thinking in.
Okay. That sounds fun.
All right. So Kid just checked out of the show.
Yep. I really forgot what we were talking about.
Nothing. I had wrapped up my Jonas speech.
He was
done.
Complimenting you.
I had complimented you, yes. I ended with a compliment.
He was saying that, you know, y'all followed the Lord and followed his leading. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. you'll be honored for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, my boat to Tarshish lasted from 2005 to 2010. Yeah. So, good times.
Really? 5 years.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
About that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you're on the right track.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Now you're back on the road to Nineveh.
Yes.
There you go.
Maybe right. Nineveh is the. Nah, I don't know. Never mind. I'm going to stop right there.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. Dave's actually in the chat room. Dave, do you have anything to add to this show?
He checked out a long time ago.
We don't want to know what Dave wants to say about the show.
He did check out. He said Brad's ex took the dog, and he's correct. So he's been paying attention.
Yeah.
I remembered that, too. Once he said that, I remembered.
We're saying she took the dog. Is a little misleading because
he wanted her to have the dog.
I refused to take the dog. So.
Not taking that stupid animal. That's probably what he said.
She moved to New Jersey. I said she wanted me to take him, and I was like, "That's not my dog."
I didn't want that dog. I met that dog.
That's not my dog. Mm-mm. She's just a girl who thinks that dog is mine, but she's not.
That was lovely.
Thank you. But it wouldn't be a two-bounce grill show if I didn't sing something.
Mm-hmm.
No, it still would be. We've had several two-bounce grill episodes without you singing.
Not good ones.
Well, that remains to...
Was there no singing on The Best Show Ever? I don't think there was.
Sang The Best Show. I'm sure we sang that.
No, he's talking about the one where I got electrocuted.
Oh.
Yeah.
The one we got electrocuted.
No.
I actually have not heard that episode.
You haven't?
I know it's like episode 20 or something.
It's classic.
It's under special editions.
It's a classic.
If you look on the right under categories, special edition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see.
What's the best show ever, Kidge?
The one we just recorded like 2 weeks ago. Oh.
Of course, the one you're on.
You're talking about Andreno Bruschetta?
I think you actually called it Best Show Ever.
Oh, okay. Good.
I think.
Leave it to him.
There you go. If it was recorded then and it was... Jen says that Brad hasn't called the Jen and Dave show. Oh, Lord, she won't leave me alone about this. I actually am going to call. I have a thing to say. I have something to say to you, Jen. And it's funny, and it wasn't funny, but it's witty. And I'm calling, okay, before you record again. Chill, okay? Chill. So y'all want to get to the calls?
Quit being mean to her.
Evidently, sure. Jen
can't handle conflict. Don't be mean to her.
No, she can't handle conflict. I'm not conflicting with you. I'm not.
Just kidding, Scott.
You need to talk a lot about honey and
what?
And that sort of thing.
Honey?
Yeah, when you call Jen on the Jen and Dave show.
Talk about honey. That's true. She does love honey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have calls.
I listen.
We have calls. We have two calls. We have no call from Jen, so I don't know.
Two calls? Where is everybody?
I don't know why she's yelling.
I'm on the show.
Why is she yelling at me for not calling her when she didn't call me? She was supposed to call me.
Uh-huh.
And she was okay. This call, I'm not going to play.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
I guess I am. I'm going to try to play it. We're going to try to play it, and then I may stop it.
All right.
Hey, Lips McFadden. This is Brad T.
Okay, yes, we're going to play it. It said from Silver Springs, Texas, and I was like, I don't think this was meant for the show, but it is. It's Brad T.
Just got a few comments here. I know you mess with people on how you pronounce stuff, but you know if there was really a Sam Quentin prison, that'd mean the one in San Francisco Bay is named after Mr. Alcatraz.
Alcatraz, that's right. That's Mr. Hey, is anybody watching Alcatraz? Very good show.
Yeah, huh?
Nope.
Are you watching Alcatraz, Kitch?
We've already asked him this.
It's good. It's pretty
good. You have already asked me that.
That's pretty good.
Also, on this Chipotle thing, I went all over Dallas looking for y'all Saturday.
Well, I told you where we're going to be, Beltline and 75.
We weren't even there.
We weren't?
No.
No.
Well, sort of.
Beltline and the Tollway. Beltline and the Tollway. That's where I told him we were going to be.
Whatever.
You could have texted me, dude.
Finally found you. Beltline and the toll road. So that way I could go back to the other ones and have me a burrito.
Oh, he found it and we went back. Funny. Ha ha, yeah, it is to laugh.
This is for Kitch. Hopefully I pronounced your name right. I know last time I didn't.
It's Mr. 41 to you.
I don't know, why are you afraid to go to downtown?
Why is it, Kitch?
I'm not afraid to go to downtown. I just loathe it.
I think he's afraid.
The DMA is downtown.
I think he's afraid.
The aquarium is downtown.
I've been to the DMA, and that's all I needed to do there.
West End is downtown.
West End, yeah.
The sixth floor museum is downtown.
The observatory. Neiman Marcus.
Neiman Marcus is downtown.
I was down at the American Airlines Center just a couple weeks ago.
Well, see, that's downtown.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, it sure is.
That new fancy bridge is downtown. They made out of PVC pipe.
Okay.
You seen that thing?
It's made out of PVC
pipe.
So.
Is that the big one that doesn't look like a bridge? It just looks like a...
Suspension bridge, arch bridge.
What'd you say it looked like, Kidge?
Isn't the St. Louis arch?
Yeah, it kind of looks like that. It looks like something you drew out with those spiral sketches. What do you call those things? Remember those things? Spirograph. That's what it looks like. Yeah, it's named after some woman.
It is?
Yeah. I don't know. Hunt. Some woman named Hunt.
Not Kay Bailey.
Hunt? Kay Bailey Hunt?
Not Hunt. Hutchinson.
No, not even her.
Okay.
Somebody named Hunt. Anyway, it's a new bridge downtown that's supposed to
money?
Be.
Did she get money?
Supposed to be like the.
They're going
to
build two more.
Two more of those?
Over the Trinity River. Really? You know, because the river's so big.
Are they going to be.
We could jump over it.
I don't even understand why they call it a river. It's a Trinity
There's
Creek.
There's no water in it.
It's the Trinity Creek. Okay.
Yeah, right.
It's more of a flood zone than a river.
Yeah. Really.
Anyway, kids, you were saying you just loathe going downtown, but you go down there a lot, evidently.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Ask George Bush or LBJ. Dude, you have a wife that if she looks at somebody wrong, she'll kill them.
That's true.
That is true. What are you afraid of?
What are you scared of?
Also, if her name's Swifty, probably means she can outrun everybody, too.
Now, Swift refers to the speed of the blade.
Yes.
Great. It's okay.
I'm going to have her teach me that stuff.
Brad Faith, by the way, if y'all went to watch the Star Wars movie in 3D,
uh-huh.
Did the opening credits come at you instead of away?
No.
Wait, the credit? Yeah, the opening, not the line, you know, not the story.
The story went away.
But the credits did. Yeah, remember?
I think he's talking about the storyline.
I know you're giving this guy from Hawaii a hard time because he said aloha and then he said bye.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the same as just saying bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
All right,
yep.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Thanks, Brad T. Always good to hear from you, sir.
It is. It is, always.
Call more.
Yes, would you? Apparently nobody calls us anymore.
Somebody did. Somebody from Glendale, Texas did.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep. Are you ready to hear from somebody from Glendale, Texas?
Yeah, huh?
I am.
Yeah, Kitch.
Kitch, hello.
Talking to you.
Woo!
Wake up.
Glendale.
Hello, two blind squirrels. This is Clayton calling from Kansas. And I'm
calling from Kansas?
said Glenda.
I know who this person is.
Okay.
I know this person very well.
All right. Okay.
They're not from Kansas.
No, well, he lives in Kansas now.
Well, why does he have a phone from Glendale, Texas?
Because he's not in Kansas anymore.
Because he used to live here.
Stars like to Brasnew.
I'm sorry, Kitch, I didn't hear that last part.
I was just saying he used to live here like a normal person.
Oh, okay.
Same. You know, I'm just wanting to cast my vote for letting Brad use, you know, the nickname if he wants.
See, I am the lips. He's saying he is approving of my new nickname, the lips.
Mm-hmm. Just because he approves it doesn't mean it's
if Whitney Houston is going to be the voice, then you have to call me the lips.
He didn't say it was
good. Himself after a speech impediment. That's perfectly fine with me. So.
Not a lisp. I'm not the lisp. I'm the lips. It's two different things.
Brad, you, at least, you know, in my book, you are now the lisp.
No, I'm not the lisp. The lips. The lips.
So forever onwards, you are going to be the lisp.
No.
Guessing that the chat room is going to agree with me. So
they're not. They're going to completely disagree with you, and I will prove it right now.
Jen totally agrees with the
Jen
lisp.
Jen just called me the lisp.
She's only been she didn't like conflict.
Jay wants to know if Faith is an extra on Big Rich Texas.
You.
Aether Swift agrees that Brad should be called the Lisp.
Big B, a.k.a. the Lisp.
Doxson says it sounds good. Everyone in the chat room thinks that you should be called the Lisp.
They're all wrong! I'll make them wrong, Faith.
I'll make them wrong. You know what? None of y'all, count. You don't. It doesn't matter. You're not. But you're not the lips
vote
either.
And tell Brad what you think. You know, support Brad on this. So, yes. Love you guys. Show. Catch you later. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Don't ever do it again. Okay. If you would like to call the show, please. Do so. We will play it on the air, no matter how offensive it is to people with actual speech impediments. 224-225-9297 is the number. Or you can find Mr. Kidge on Twitter at Kidge421. That's his first name and his last name all swished together with no spaces. You can find Faith nowhere, because she is nowhere. If you befriend her on Facebook, she will reject you like the scum you are.
Jen Avila in the chat room says, hey, we have a voicemail number too.
Hey, Jen, I'm going to get to that. Just wait a second. Jeez. If you would like to talk to me, I'm on Twitter, on the Twitters, at OneBlindSQ.
If you'd like to talk to me, you can talk to me.
Although
through
Brad. I may change my Twitter to the
lisp. The lisp.
Love it. I'm checking to see if that's available for you right now.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, thanks all of you for joining us and making the show awesome and being all cool and everything. We appreciate that. By the way, Jen, I don't think I've forgotten about you. Don't think I've forgotten about you. I haven't pulled it down yet, but we have an addition to Jen saying.
Oh,
Jen saying, I poop candy and you can eat it.
Now she sits on the toilet and it makes her feel fancy. I can't wait. I can't wait for you to hear it. It's just going to be awesome. Okay. So we'll make a song out of it. It'll be great.
By the way, Brad, at the Lisp is totally available.
Oh, totally. And I'll totally not get it and stuff. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. No, I can't. So, all right. Yeah, that's it. Vaya Escondidos, everybody.
Vaya Escondidos.
Vaya Escondidos.